You're playing slow, so we're playing through. Hosted by Bob Ballew and Carl Mickelson. Brought to you by the PGA Tour Superstore.
That is music to our ears. Welcome inside Playing Through. Good morning, Austin, Texas. It is 7:01 on a Saturday morning in which your golf game today may not make it all the way through the round. We are going to have rain all day scattered around the area this morning, and then it looks like it's coming heavy around noon across the area. So we will see. Hopefully you can get a round in. Hopefully you're already on your way to the golf course or figuring out a way to get out there. Good Saturday morning to you. My name is Bob Ballew. This is Playing Through, and joining us not in Austin this morning is the great Carl Mickelson. Carl, as you tour Texas, where are you now?
I am watching pelicans eat fish on the beach of Port Aransas as we speak. It's a fascinating thing to see these greedy little guys just devour fish at will. Pretty cool. So we've been in Port Aransas. No, we go with a couple of families every May, sneak in a little golf and sneak in a bunch of time at the beach, but it's a beautiful morning. Sea is a little bit angry today. I think we're going to get some of that same weather that you've got there in Austin, but we've got our golf in. We're feeling good. Got to tour the renovated post-Harvey recovery Palmia Beach Golf Club yesterday. Converted to 9 holes, beautiful seashore past Palom fairways down there. Very innovative concept going with 9 holes and 3 practice holes. So taking the family course concept, bringing in some fun and innovative stuff with the golf boards, the kind of surfboard, motorcycle-looking jobs that they let people surf the turf on the fairways. And just there's not a bad lie out there unless you hit it into the gnarly dunes, which unfortunately I did a couple times too many to win the bets yesterday. But great time down here. You know, good to be with you. Good to be patched in. And a lot to talk about this morning. So looking forward to it.
It's really interesting you mentioned that about Palmia. It's because they lost so much when the hurricane came through, and it's a really interesting concept, and I think it's interesting that you mentioned they're making it family oriented, just because that is a, you know, we're trying to find ways to grow the game of golf, and every course, I think, you know, in the coming years, every course will not be an 18 hole course. They've got to find ways to get people out to play and play in quicker ways, and this is one way to do it.
Golf for years built courses because they could sell real estate around it, or they could maybe potentially host a great big tournament. So that's how we've gotten to 7,800 yard golf courses. And nobody looked at the ski industry and says, hey, golf, if you want it to be sustainable, you want people to learn the game and learn it without getting too intimidated, getting burned out, you got to build bunny slopes. So I love going to a facility like this and seeing there's 60-yard par 3 practice holes. There's places where they're away from the core of the golf, where kids can go, a guy just learning the game can go. And golf needs those pathways. And it's funny, we put so much focus on the wonderful work that the first tee does. The golf industry, which I'm part of and probably guilty of to a degree, never built the second and third tee. There's no pathway programs in a lot of cases for golf to grow and be fostered. So you're right, but I think you're right on. If we're smart, we're going to see more of these kind of family-oriented, not back-breaking championship courses every time they come out. A good friend of mine, architect down in Houston, Mike Nuzzo, has a project going on called in Cleveland, Texas. And he's built 9 holes of regulation, amazing championship golf, 9 holes of par 3, and a 9-hole putting course. And the community that goes around that, they'll be able to learn golf at their own pace, play golf at their own pace, and sort of build their way into being golfers. Amazing stuff. I love it.
It's really interesting to see where the future of golf will go on that front. Carl Mickelson joining us down in Port Aransas this morning here on Playing Through. And Carl, I think we're going to spend the majority of our first segment here talking about what everyone wants to talk about, which is the Charles Schwab Classic or Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial Country Club next week in Fort Worth, because it was a very fun, interesting 2 days at the PGA Championship, and congratulations to Brooks Koepka for the win, and we move on now to the Colonial.
It does feel like a done deal, doesn't it?
I mean, come on, he's got a 7-shot lead. He's not losing this lead, Carl.
He's not going to lose this lead. I felt that way. I texted you Thursday morning and asked if he was uncatchable.
Yeah. We weren't even 3 hours into the tournament, and you're asking me if it's over. And you were right. I mean, we made our PGA Championship picks here on Playing Through last week. Carl took Rory McIlroy, and Rory...
I could have been more wrong, but not much more wrong.
Well, no. Now don't say that just yet. Rory is 3 over, but you know what he loves to do at basically every tournament he's ever played, which is shoot like a 62 on Sunday and finish in the top 10 somewhere. He always backdoors that top 10. So you're good if you've made the Rory McIlroy pick, because you know that's going to happen. I took Xander Schauffele, who went even par his first round and 1 under yesterday. And you would figure if you were looking at this tournament from an outsider perspective and Brooks Koepka was not in the field, it would be a lot of fun going into this weekend. It would. I mean, Jordan Spieth, like, let's just take Brooks out of the field for a second. The leaderboard would look like this. Jordan Spieth and Adam Scott tied at 5 under. Daniel Berger, who really nice to see him back in the spotlight again. It's been a little bit. Daniel Berger and Dustin Johnson, along with Kelly Kraft, Matt Wallace, and Luke List at 4 under. And then Justin Rose at 3 under. And then there are like 10 guys tied for 10th, including, Carl, this is your first quiz of the day. The young man from Thailand. Do you know how to say his name?
I do not. But I learned on the couple of times I've been fortunate to go to Hawaii is when in doubt, pronounce one syllable at a time. So I'm going to say Jane Watanand.
It's actually just like it looks. It's Jazz. Is this not his real first name? That's his nickname. But well, it's Jazz.
Yeah, you took the Jazz, the easy part.
Yeah, it's Jazz Jane Watanand.
Oh, Jane Watanand.
Yeah, Jazz Jane Watanand. And it's just like it. I mean, it's just like it looks. If you cut that word up, it's Jazz Jane Watanand. So you're going to see his name this weekend. But there are a lot of good players. I mean, Ricky Fowler's 2 under. Hideki Matsuyama's 2 under. Louis Oosthuizen. Tommy Fleetwood's 2 under. There's this great field and these great. I mean, if Brooks Koepka was not 7 shots up on the field, I think we'd be really excited about this weekend because there's so many good names that are under par. And instead, Carl, we're sitting. I've read this across the board with a lot of guys that you know are either at the tournament or watching the tournament, whatever. It's boring, and it's amazing to think that Brooks Koepka has set a record for any major ever played. I think it's every major across the board. The best 2-round finish was 10 under. Brooks is 12. He's shattering records left and right. If this was Tiger Woods, 7 shots up on the field, no one would say this is boring. They would say this is so much fun to watch. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. But because it's Brooks Koepka, I'm seeing the word boring on social media platforms across the board.
What you're seeing is people entering that acceptance phase of this may well be the Brooks Koepka era of golf, and I don't know if people are reconciled with it. I mean, his personality, as you pointed out on the show, isn't necessarily electrifying. His golf game, though, is electrifying. So I don't know that it makes it any easier or more scintillating to watch. I mean, I know a lot of people will be rooting for him to falter a little bit and maybe a Jordan Spieth or Adam Scott or DJ to sneak in there and make it interesting. But I think more than likely what you're going to have to do is come to terms with we're witnessing something amazing, a guy that does what everybody dreams to do, everybody tries to do, and that's peak for the majors and peak for the majors in a way that's dominant and so far infallible.
You're listening to Playing Through on the Horn FM. That's Carl Mickelson, who's down in Port Aransas. And Carl, I just can't wrap my head around why do people think, I mean, I know when you watch, I understand that Brooks hasn't been the most personable person, but Tiger Woods was never the most personable person. So why, when Brooks Koepka is 12 shots or, you know, 12 under and 7 shots up, why do people think it's boring? It doesn't make sense to me. I just think it's exciting to watch him play. He finishes his round yesterday. And what's the first thing he says in the post-game press conference? Man, that was a battle. Was it? Is battle the word you'd use?
It looked pretty easy, yeah. When you're piping it down those fairways and have the rest of his game, which is a complete game, it looks, yeah, it didn't look hard. I mean, he jumped out of the rough a couple of times, but Standing there next to Tiger, it looked pretty easy.
We'd certainly love to get your thoughts on the specs. Text line 512-337-3776, 512.
You're playing slow, so we're playing through. Hosted by Bob Ballou and Carl Nicholson.
Yeah, no, it's fine, Dylan. Anytime you want to play that thing, we're excited about it.
I like that.
Run it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Run that thing. We love it. And then, Carl, we can try to imitate it. You're playing slow, so we're playing through. It's not terrible.
Hosted by Bob Ballou.
See, there you go, Carl Nicholson.
I learned the man's name. I didn't get to meet him this past week, but I know that the man's name now is Patrick. And that's bucket list stuff for me to eventually be in the studio and run into Patrick.
I love it. And then we'll have him do live hits for our show just sitting here with us.
That would be amazing.
Hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776, 512-337-3776. We want to get your thoughts on the PGA Championship. What a list of people who were cut yesterday. By the way, here in about 10 minutes, Joe Ogilvie is going to join us, our regular contributor to the show. Joe played on the PGA Tour for a number of years, and the Duke graduate wants to give a few thoughts on the PGA Championship himself. By the way, he did, when he was on the show last week, he did pick Brooks Koepka to win the PGA Championship, which I thought was a really boring pick. But again, I mean, it was pretty obvious that Brooks was one of the very heavy favorites for this event. So we'll talk to Joe about that here coming up in a little bit. But some very interesting names across the board of guys who were cut at the PGA Championship this week. And I always think it's interesting to look through and find all the different things that go on in a PGA Championship. But to see the number of guys that were cut, I thought was certainly interesting. Listen to this list. John Rahm, who was even par after the first round, went five over yesterday. Sergio Garcia, Bubba Watson, Brendan Grace, Ian Poulter, Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, John Daly, and his cart, both cut. And, of course, Tiger Woods, the big one yesterday. And, Carl, we were talking a little bit before the show about how, you know, Brooks, it feels like Brooks has made this look easy because he hits it down the middle and then hits it on the green. Tiger could not find the fairway yesterday, and it was critical and crucial to him being cut.
Well, you know, you look at it overall, not a bad front side for Tiger. He shoots even, hitting almost no fairways. So he's still somewhat superhuman, but you can't do that. And it, I guess, goes back to early in the season when we made our pre-major predictions. And the question I think Aaron Hogan brought up and asked us was, can Tiger Woods win a major in 2018? And I kind of said, if he's going to do it, it needs to be at the Masters, because he's not driving it like vintage Tiger. And I'm not saying that was a super prediction or anything. But
no, it was, Carl. You can pat yourself on the back. It's all good.
Pat. But he hasn't shown us vintage Tiger off the tee. He's still got the iron game. So there's two arenas. So I don't worry about Tiger. If he can find the driver. And, I mean, the putter is going to be what it's going to be. It's going to be streaky, I think. But that's where we are. I mean, so he missed the cut just barely. And the challenge really is can he find the driver? I think it's that simple and it's that obvious. I don't know. You might have some other insights, but that's the way I see it. He's, again, we always say he's close. We always, you know, all these guys say they're close. And we'll talk about a guy who does suddenly appear close, Jordan Spieth. But on Tiger, it just looks like the driving and not much else.
Yeah, and here's part of the issue with Tiger. I mean, he was one for his first 11 fairways hit yesterday, which is just – it's baffling how that can happen to someone that's that good. But when you think about his last tournament was the Masters, and I think that's something that we've got to follow really closely if you're a Tiger fan and you want to know what he's doing. I think that's going to be something to follow pretty closely over the next, you know, year or two as he continues to try to win more majors. What is his schedule? Because when he doesn't play, I mean, again, he's gone a full month since the Masters, 5 weeks, whatever the number is, right. And he didn't feel like he was ready to play. I think he'll play the Memorial, so if you're looking toward the U.S. Open, June 13th through the 16th, I think he'll play the Memorial because it's Jack, but I also think he'll play it because he's going to start. You'll start seeing him play these tournaments 2 weeks out. He likes to play tournaments 2 weeks in advance of a major, and I think he'll certainly play the Memorial because it's Jack and it's a good warm up for the U.S. Open. But I think you'll see that become a trend for him. He's obviously not going to play in a ton of these tournaments. It'll be interesting to see what he does for the Open Championship because I believe the 3M Open is over July 4th and it's up in Minnesota, and it's just kind of a, you know, they are hopeful that that's what happened. I mean, the field includes Phil Mickelson, Brooks Koepka, Jason Day, Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, Tony Finau. So, I mean, the field's good, and I think that'll be a good warm-up for him. But I really think that's going to be something to watch because I don't think you'll see him go a full month to 5 weeks in between playing before a major again. I think he realized that's something he just can't do anymore.
No, he's got to get his reps in, and he's got to find more fairways one way or the other. And I think you're right. We probably ought to look and see what the European Tour event is 2 weeks prior to the Open Championship, because that's more like, probably not likely at all, but more likely than him heading up to Minnesota, even though they've got a great field for their inaugural event.
Yeah, the Scottish Open is the week before, and I don't think he'll play in that, but that's certainly that some of those guys do. You know, Phil Mickelson will go play in that and give that a run. Carl, if there's one person that can make a run at Brooks Koepka this weekend, as you look at that leaderboard from anyone from, you know, one under to five under, if Brooks falters a little and shoots, you know, plays it a little more careful and shoots 72, 73, and he falls back to 10 under, 9 under, as you look through the leaderboard, who's the one guy you're going to keep an eye on to make a run this weekend, if anyone can?
It's DJ, Bob. That's the guy that can go low. I know Adam Scott's right there. Jordan's right there. But we're not playing Augusta National. We're playing Bethpage Black. And I think he looks like the only guy that can go scary deep and go unconscious and go into the zone, I think, that's in striking distance. And that's a pretty long, deep and long striking distance for this event. It's DJ. What do you think?
I mean, that was the first person I looked to was DJ. I think it'd be fun to see. I thought, you know, originally I thought it would be fun to see Brooks and DJ go head-to-head on a Sunday, you know, trying to win a major championship because, number one, they're good friends. And you know, that's always, to me, interesting to see when good friends get together and try to play around where they're tight. But I think he's one of the few guys in the field that can go low at Bethpage Black. I think he, with his driving distance and with the way he can hit some fairways and hit some greens, and when he gets his putter going, he can be really, really good. And you know, both his rounds are under par. He went 69, 67, and he's got a real opportunity to make a run. But again, he's 8 shots back. So you're really going to need – it's not just that you're going to need a Dustin Johnson or a Jordan Spieth or, you know, Adam Scott or whoever it is to shoot 64 or 63 or, you know something like that. What you're going to need is – Brooks Koepka to shoot 72 and 73, and then at least it opens it up. At least it gives it an opportunity. At least there's an opportunity there for someone to make a run.
There is. It's just hard to look past DJ. I mean, I would love it to be Jordan Spieth. That'd be a great story. I just don't. I don't know about Sun Kang or your guy Jane. Help me out,
Jane Wadanand. Jazz Jane Wadanand.
Does Jazz have a 61 in him? I look down the leaderboard. I would love it to be Kelly Kraft or Jordan Spieth, Texas guys. I don't know, and I'm not the guy that roots for the Brooks shooting 76 today. I just let it play out, and if he blows the field away, that's just what's going to be what happens, and you know, we'll find something. You know, we'll watch the UT women online or something.
Yeah, and we will talk a little bit about that later in the show. The UT women are in a really good spot at the national championships. Ryan Murphy's group doing great things, and obviously John Fields and the UT men just absolutely dominated at UT Golf Club this week. We will talk about that coming up a little bit later in the show. And here in just a few minutes, Joe Ogilvie will join us on Playing Through. But Carl, before that happens, as we look through this leaderboard and you look through what's going on at the PGA Championship, besides Brooks Koepka, I think one of the biggest stories this week is Jordan Spieth. You know, Jordan has really I hate to use the word struggled because he's still, you know, a top 30 player in the world, top 35 player in the world. I think he was 32, somewhere around there. But for Jordan, I don't like to use the word struggle. I think he's just trying to figure some things out. Now, he has one top 10 in the last year and a month, and that top 10 was at the Masters in 2018, and he finished ninth. That's his only top 10 in that span. He's played well at the majors, which is good. Let's hear from Jordan Spieth. Jordan had a couple things to say before the tournament started this week. First on the Grand Slam, the idea that, if he ever does win the PGA Championship, he would complete the career Grand Slam. So here's Jordan first on the Grand Slam.
Certainly every PGA Championship week, I understand that's going to be the case. I'd be the sixth person, which would be a pretty unique fraternity to be in there. That would be a dream come true for me. But I also recognize that, if I continue to stay healthy and play well, I'll have, 30 chances at it. So one of them's bound to go my way, right?
You'd like to think. That's assuming he stays healthy. He thinks, one of those eventually will go his way. He would join the group. There are only five golfers to ever to win the career Grand Slam, and that's Gene Sarazen, Ben Hogan, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, and Tiger Woods. That's an unbelievable group for him to join, and he's in position this week. Carl, what are your thoughts on just how Jordan is starting to play a little better and the opportunity to win a career Grand Slam?
The putter is back, for one. That's the one thing I key on. We saw a couple of Jordan bombs so far in the first two rounds. So that range that you shouldn't make, but he always seems to uncannily make when he was in peak play. So we got glimpses of old Jordan yesterday for certain. So that's good to see back. His game looks good. I mean, does he have four rounds? That's a question we've been asking for like you said, about a year now.
That's been the issue.
Can he put four rounds together? And I'm anxious to see. I think he can. I mean, and at that point, you have to wonder how mental this whole little dark place he's been in has been, because he seems to have the physical tools. I mean, I know he went through mono, and that was a health issue. He doesn't seem to have anything physical holding him back from putting those four rounds together and being the complete player he was for that, 2-3 year stretch.
Well, and every time he shows up at a tournament, the expectations are he's going to play well and win, or at least be up there on the leaderboard. And he just hasn't been. And that was something else that Jordan talked about this week. When you think about what he's been through and where he's been, the expectations on him are really, heightened every time he goes anywhere. So he spoke to that a little bit as well.
The questioning and the wording that's used to describe me by media or whatever, and over the past year has only come up because of the amount of success that I've had,
right.
And so it actually could be looked at positively as well, because if I didn't have the success that I've had, then first of all, I wouldn't be in here right now. Second of all, it would be, his game's progressing nicely. You'd be actually looking at the progression of the game instead of the comparisons constantly to when someone's at their best, which I think is unfair to anybody in any field. But it's not, everyone, it's not me to tell anybody how to do their job. It's just it's just one of those things where you just got to block out the noise and stay the course and believe in yourself.
And Carl, I think that's an important point he makes, is that he's playing better and his game is starting to come around. I say this, I think, every week on this show, but at some point he's going to put it all together and he's going to start making a run and become the Jordan Spieth that we've all seen be so good. But I think that's important. Don't you think it's really important to understand that his game is progressing?
Well, I think there's no question. I think we're seeing the signs. I think to Jordan's point, is we're not measuring Jordan against Jordan. I think what the bigger picture is, we're measuring Jordan's three majors against Tiger's 14. Tiger spoiled us. So when you see a guy go through the run that Jordan had, win three majors, and again, we'll say the word easy, he did make it look easy for that period of time. We're measuring it against these standards that just sort of got blown out of the universe when Tiger had his run. So when we look at Brooks and we joke, is this the Koepka era? We want to know how deep, how far can this storyline take us? And it's jarring to see guys struggle like this. And back to your point, all the signs are there. I mean, if you look at yesterday's round, that it was a vintage Jordan Spieth round. Couple of bogeys in the middle part, but nothing catastrophic. I mean, and to bounce back and play his best golf coming into the latter part of the round, it's promising. If you're bored with a tournament, watch Jordan. I think that's compelling to see how he's going to manage being in contention and just sort of being able to put those four rounds together.
He is Carl Mickelson down in Port Aransas, enjoying a nice weekend and kind enough to hop on and be a part of the show this morning. Carl, we'll talk to you here in a few minutes again, but up next we've got Joe Ogilvy, former PGA Tour pro, our good friend of the show, and he's going to join us and talk a little more about the PGA Championship. You're listening to Playing Through on the Horn.
You're playing slow, so we're playing through. Hosted by Bob Ballew and Carl Mickelson. Brought to you by the PGA Tour Superstore.
Welcome back to Playing Through. I am Bob Ballew. Carl Mickelson is down in Port Aransas this weekend, enjoying some time with the family. He hopped on with us for a little while in the first segment. He will rejoin us in a few minutes, but before that, we always love when we get to talk to former PGA Tour player Joe Ogilvy, our good friend of the show and regular contributor. Joe, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you?
I'm great. I don't know if you remember this. It was a full week ago, and a lot happens in a week, but you predicted that Brooks Koepka was going to win the PGA Championship, and I don't know how you came up with that pick, but it's looking pretty good right now.
You know, the way he drives a golf ball, and just, he seems to putt the golf ball in major championships. He's a, it's other than Brandel Chamblee, I think it's a pretty obvious pick.
Joe Ogilvy joining us on Playing Through. Joe, my first question, and Carl and I talked a little bit about this, but I'm curious to get your thoughts on this because I keep seeing the word boring thrown around about Brooks Koepka being seven shots up on the field. If this was Tiger Woods or if this was Phil Mickelson, no one would be using that word. Is Brooks Koepka a boring golfer?
Well, he's just not very demonstrative. I mean, he kind of just goes about his business. I think that's the winning formula for him. And unfortunately, not everybody can be a Tiger Woods. However, I mean, I think if we would have looked back in the 50s and 60s, we would have saw Ben Hogan probably play very similarly to Brooks Koepka. I mean, Brooks obviously has the muscle and the long game.
Sure.
But, I mean, I think Hogan played that way, too. And so everybody reveres Hogan after the fact. But Brooks is, my God. I mean, I think it's the first time, you saw shades of Rory maybe for about 18 months to 2 years where he had the U.S. Open where he was winning by 10. But this is the first time that I felt that you've got a Tiger Woods, and you're seeing what Tiger Woods used to do in 2000, winning tournaments by 16. And Brooks is one of these guys that these past 18 months to 2 years, he's playing like a Tiger did in 2000, at least in the major championships.
Is that bad for golf? And not bad for golf because he's going to be winning, but bad for golf because he's not a personality, because he's not someone that you want to flip on the TV. I mean, when Tiger Woods was playing in the early 2000s, your TV was on. You had to see it. When he was playing at the Masters this year, you turned it on. You had to see it. When they had the run at the PGA Championship last year, you turned it on, you had to see it. Because no one's challenging Brooks Koepka, and he's not that demonstrative guy, he's not that personable guy in the post-game interviews, is that bad for golf?
Well, you hope. I mean, it was interesting. This is the first time in his pre-PGA Championship press conference, I think it was on Tuesday or whatever. I mean, he talked about how majors were easier to win. He talked about, half the field can't win. And then he said, between those guys, we've got probably 40 of them that are good enough to win, and half of those guys aren't going to play very well. So then you got 12 guys or whatever. Then he said he got 20 guys, and then, maybe 10 of those guys don't really want to win because they're afraid to win a major championship. And so he goes, I really got to beat 10 to 12 guys. I mean, for him to say that on the eve of a major championship, that's some heady stuff. And to go out and back it up and be winning by seven, you know, maybe he's going to be a little bit different. He's going to be a little more outspoken. He's going to say things that are interesting. I mean, the interesting thing about greatness is, you know, some guys love the top of, you know, the best player in the world. Some guys hate him. But if they're indifferent, that's a bad thing. If Brooks starts to get a little more, you know, he talks a little bit more, he puts himself out there, and he continues to win, I mean, I think that's great for anything. I mean, when you have dominance, people really enjoy seeing dominance in the best player in their sport. You know, whether you love him or you hate him, Brooks is tough to hate. But, I mean, he sure is easy to admire. I mean, the guy is – he's just amazing. He's playing amazing golf right now.
Joe Ogilvie joining us on Playing Through. And Joe, I think that's something that Brooks even wants to do a little more, is showcase himself in the spotlight, get his personality out there a little more. I think it bothers him that writers and nobody wanted to talk to him, and he was just killing it, and nobody wanted to talk to him because he doesn't have that, you know, explosive personality. I think he wants to show that side of himself, and maybe it's a little push from the PGA Tour as well. Maybe it's a little push from his reps to say, hey, you need to get out there a little more. But I do think, you know, long term, I think Brooks wants to be, obviously he wants to be the best golfer, but I think he probably wants to get into that mold, that spotlight of, you know, I can be a little bit more of a personality.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, if he wins, he goes on to win this week. If he's not number one in the world, he's going to be damn near number one in the world. So the spotlight's going to be on him more. You know, it's interesting. Damon Hack from the Golf Channel we were texting back and forth. And he was like, you know, before the PGA started, he goes, you know, who do you think — there's a big debate on who the best driver of the golf ball is in the world. And I'm like, look, don't overthink this. Brooks Koepka is the best driver of the golf ball in the world, full stop. And he hits fairways, he hits it long, he hits it, you know, and he seems to — what's really lost is if he's going to miss a fairway, he seems to hit it on the right side of the rough where he can actually access the green. And that's a — you know, I think the stats kind of fail to appreciate that. If he's going to miss it a little bit, he's always on the right side to miss it. And there's usually avenues to a green that you can miss it. You know, if you miss it on the left and the avenue opens up to the left, you're okay because you can make the ball and you can get the ball to the green. Sometimes if that avenue's on the left and you miss it right, you've got no chance to hit on the green. Brooks seems to place his ball in the right on the right side of the fairway or the rough where he can always access the green. And that's a skill that the stats don't pick up, but it's an incredibly important part of golf.
And there are a lot of guys missing fairways this week, and that's what you're seeing. You know, some of these high scores, some of the best players in the world that do miss the cut, you know, like Brooks said, some of these guys aren't going to play well. And certainly, you know, to see some of these guys that are that you expect to be at the top of the leaderboard that miss the cut, or even, you know, make the cut by a shot or two and don't really have a chance this weekend. It's interesting to see. Joe Ogilvie joining us on Playing Through. Joe, have you ever shot a round of 65 and come off the golf course and said, man, that was a real battle?
Yeah,
I mean,
certainly not in a — well, I never shot 65 in a major championship. there were certainly times where I shot 65 where I left a few out there, but I didn't say it was a battle. And if I did, I certainly enjoyed the battle. I mean, he
made two bogeys, Joe. I mean, what? I mean, that's awful.
He did. That was certainly a battle for him. You know, I think what you're seeing is — and that's his version of saying when Tiger used to say, "You know, I won with my C game," and we were all scratching our heads like, "Oh my God, if he hits his A game, what's going to happen?" And that's when he wins by 16. Yeah, I think that the thing is, he may have battled, but he showed — if he was battling in swing, he showed that he could still battle and keep it in the fairway. And, you know, you saw Tiger battling, and he couldn't hit a fairway. I think he hit maybe two fairways yesterday, and you just can't play Bethpage in the rough, or at least, you know, have any hope of playing well. And I think that that's what you saw. But if that's a battle and he's able to keep it in the fairway, these boys are going to have – they're going to have a lot of wood to chop to catch him this weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, not that Brooks is going to let off the gas necessarily, but I don't expect him to shoot 63 or 64 today. I mean, maybe he does, but I don't expect him to shoot 63, 64, 65 today. Let's say he shoots one under, even one over, two over, somewhere in there. Who's the guy that you're looking at to make the run at him to even make this, you know, any kind of competition tomorrow?
Well, what's interesting is, you know, you've got, I think in the top 10, the top 10 is something like 9 or 10 behind. So you have this, I mean, you've got a giant gap. So
yeah,
10th place
is 10 shots back.
Yeah, so you basically have Jordan Spieth, Adam Scott, and Dustin Johnson. Those are the guys that can catch him. I mean, if Danny Lee, Lindquist, or these guys, you know, Kelly Kraft.
Justin Rose is 3 under. He's 9 back.
So Justin probably needs a, you know, 67 to have anywhere near a chance. And that's if Brooks, you know, shoots a couple of seven, you know, a couple over pars, which is doable. But if he shoots a high score today, I mean, it lets in a lot of guys, but it doesn't let that many guys in, right? It only lets in probably, there's only going to be, unless he has a total collapse today, which, you know, odds makers would say won't happen. You only have maybe 8 guys that can win. That's at the start of the day, and you probably have, you know, less than that tomorrow. So, you know, I think those 3 guys you mentioned, Justin Rose, I mean, that's one of the guys that can challenge him. And they're going to need to shoot low. I mean, Jordan's probably going to need to shoot 266s.
Can he do that?
Yeah, I think he can. Look, I think he can. I think Dustin Johnson certainly can with his driving prowess. And Adam Scott is hitting it the best. He's hitting it the best. The question is, can he get the putter going? And that's always been a question for Adam's game. But, I mean, the guy hits it. I mean, he hits it like, you know, he's a guy that looks like a Greek god, and he also hits it like a Greek god. So you just, I've always wished that Adam Scott got on a 2-year confidence binge with the putter, and it'd be interesting to see what he would do, because that's always been his Achilles heel. And if he ever had confidence in that putter, man, he'd be, you know, he could win the Grand Slam if he had confidence in the putter.
Have you ever putted with a putter that's taller than you like Adam does?
No. No, I haven't. I mean, I experiment. I think that's a skill. I mean, Scott McCarron and Bernhard Langer are the best at it. But I mean, I think if you, Brad Faxon and I always had this deal, was that when they banned the long putter, or basically the anchoring the long putter. I mean, if you put the long putter in Brad Faxon's hands or Ben Crenshaw's hands or Lauren Roberts' hands or, you know, someone like that, they would be measurably worse. So, I mean, I looked at that long putter as a skill, not necessarily a, you know, as an advantage. It certainly is an advantage if a guy's skilled to do it and if he's a terrible putter. But if you put it in a great putter's hand, he's going to get worse. And, you know, that's a whole different debate on whether it should be banned or not. But, yeah, I tried it one time, and I was hopeless. I mean, it was just awful.
Joe Ogilvie joining us on Playing Through. And Joe, before we let you go, I want to ask you about Jordan Spieth and what you've seen this weekend in him and even leading into this, because I do think his game is starting to turn back in the right direction. What does he need to do to become the elite player he was 3 years ago?
You know, I think he just was – he said in the press conference, he goes, they talked about Jordan, you've been in the slump, or you're in a slump. He goes, was in a slump. I was in a slump. No longer. You know, that's important to kind of define that. And I think mentally, he's so strong mentally, he's put that in the trash can, so to speak, and he's kind of looking forward. And, you know, a guy, as he said, he goes, you know, I haven't won in 18 months. I mean, there's plenty of guys that haven't won in 18 months. And I think that that's, he's kind of in that mode where he's getting better. He's looking forward. And he says, you know, quite frankly, I mean, his life has changed in the last, you forget, 45 months ago, he wasn't a major champion winner. He wasn't a U.S. Open winner. He wasn't an Open Championship winner. So, and he's probably put $100 million in his pocket. He's gotten married. He's bought a house. I mean, these are all like life-changing things that have happened to him. And his life has changed, and he's drinking out of a fire hose for probably. So it's not a bad thing to have an 18 months, especially when you're 25 years old, to have an 18-month kind of layoff where you're like, okay, let's get everything in order, and we'll look forward. I mean, he's got another, you know, 15 years to look forward to on tour where he's playing at an elite level probably, and maybe longer. So, you know, 18 months out of a 25-year, 30-year career is, that's okay. I'll give him a pass.
Yeah, and he had 5 top 10s in the first 4 months of last year, and since then he has 1, and that was a 9th at the Open Championship. And but you're starting to see it. You're starting to see, I mean, it's not that long ago he was really good. He's gone through basically a year of no top tens, but trying to figure out his game, and we'll see where he goes from here. Joe, always appreciate the time, and hope you have a really good rest of your weekend and enjoy a little bit more of the PGA Championship. Hopefully this thing gets a little bit close and we can at least enjoy maybe a little bit of competition tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. It'll be fun to watch. Thanks so much, Bob.
All right, thanks, Joe. That's Joe Ogilvie here on Playing Through. Carl Mickelson rejoins us when we come back. It's Playing Through on the Horn.
You're playing slow, so we're playing through. Hosted by Bob Ballew and Carl Mickelson. Brought to you by the PGA Tour Superstore.
Welcome back to Playing Through on a Saturday morning. I am Bob Ballew. Carl Mickelson is joining us from Port Aransas.
Yeah, I am. The Pelicans are well fed. I no longer have the beach to myself, but it's a beautiful morning. The clouds are kind of pulling away, and it's going to be a good day.
I love it. It's wonderful to hear. Carl, we did have some fun with the PGA Championship before this started, and again, it's always hard to make bets, and I asked Carl 8 questions before we started the PGA Championship, and Carl, I don't know if you know how you did. I don't know if you looked, but here's...
I'm going to bet that I only got out of... So
there were 8. There were 8 total.
I'm putting my over-under at 2 correct. Okay. I don't think I did well.
You did. You're over 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you did, yeah, you're fine. If you had put $100 on all of these bets, you would have only lost the juice. You went 4-4. Here are the questions. We'll run through them real quick. How many players will finish under par? Well, I guess we don't know the answers to this yet, but we can kind of tell. You said over 8.5. I think we'll hit over 8.5. I think there are like 20 golfers currently under par. Will there be a hole in one? You said yes. The current answer is no. The leading score after round one, you said over 65.5. Brooks Koepka shot 63. The lowest 18-hole score, you said under 64.5, 63 from Brooks Koepka. Tiger Woods round one score under 69.5. Tiger shot 72. You lost a little money there, Carl. Not that you bet on any of these. You would have lost a little money there, Carl. Will Tiger Woods lead after round one? You said no. The answer was no. Will Tiger Woods make the cut? You said yes. The answer was no. And will Tiger Woods win the PGA Championship? Fortunately, you said no. He did not make the cut. So you went 4-4, or as of now, you're 4-4. So I think you did fine.
Some of those are safe. Not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you test yourself?
I did, but I was laughing about this on the way here this morning. I did. I tested myself. I wrote them all down, and they're sitting at work. So I don't know how I did.
One of the things we should have thrown in there is how many club pros might have made the cut, and yeah, it turns out it was 3. I actually did some work in the past couple of days with one of the guys that made the cut.
Oh, is that right?
Bit of a local, yeah. Rob LeBrits, who they're calling this week, 2 LeBrits to quit, is a teaching pro extraordinaire up there, New York guy. And he has won the New York State Open 3 times on Bethpage Black. So he went in extremely confidently. But get this, the guy who's only 1 over par, Marty Jerson.
Yes.
He's the VP of fitting and performance for Ping. I mean, how good is that?
You can
play the PGA Championship and have that intense of a day job that's not playing golf. I mean, I'm sure he plays a lot of golf, obviously. But
the only opportunity you said Rob Labritz, is that the one you said was in?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So
he's local.
I got a bone to pick with Rob. No, not really. But I was in New York. I was going up. My wife had meetings there, and I was going to go up there and play Bethpage Black, and the New York State Open was going on, so I couldn't play. The one time I thought I was going to get to do it.
Rob was probably in contention.
Yeah, most likely. He probably won it that year. Carl, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you weren't going to wake up, but you weren't going to park and sleep in the car and do the whole Bethpage.
No,
well, not with your wife in tow.
No, she wouldn't let me do that. Before we go, do want to mention again a big congratulations to John Fields and the UT men's golf team. Dominated the regional at UT Golf Club this week, won by 20 shots. They will play for the national championship in Fayetteville, Arkansas, beginning on Friday. The UT women currently in first place after round one of the national championships up in Fayetteville. Emily Hoffman fired a 1-under par 72. They are tied for the lead. It will be fun to see what Ryan Murphy's group can do. The second round is today, and then they'll move on from there. Carl, any final thoughts? on the PGA Championship. Will it be a week this week? Will we have a competition tomorrow?
Will we have a competition? I think he's going to have a healthy lead. I think Brooks Koepka will be your 2019 PGA champion. Maybe that'll be famous last words and I'll be dead wrong. He's just too solid. As Joe said, he's doing everything right. He's the complete player. He's the prototypical player right now. So it's his.
It's going to take a lot for something like that to happen, to have this thing be interesting. But hopefully it'll get a little interesting. Maybe Jordan shoots 66 and Brooks shoots, you know, one over, and it becomes an event tomorrow. We'll see. Carl, enjoy Port Aransas. Hope you have a good time down there, my man. And we'll get together next week out at the PGA Tour Superstore, as we'll be live as they get ready to open for the first day. That's going to be awesome.
Coming at you live. Looking forward to it. Have a great week, and I'll see you there.
All right, Carl. Sounds good. This is Playing Through. I'm Bob Ballew. He is Carl Mickelson. Thanks for joining us this morning. Go out and make a bunch of birdies, everyone.